Good morning. Welcome to Bethesda Lutheran Church here on the, what Sunday is it? The eighth Sunday after Pentecost. Glad you're all with us here this morning. Another beautiful, bright morning here in Malmo, Minnesota. Number of announcements for this week. Evidently, something is going on this coming week, next Sunday. I think I might just take the day off. Anyone want to fill in next week? We are finally coming to our big centennial celebration next Sunday. We all ready? Some of those folks. I know, Sue, are we ready? Are we getting close? We're getting there. Just deep breath, you know. I think we're good, but we may need a little bit of help. One thing we're doing differently next Sunday, we will be worshiping at one service at 10 a.m. in the fellowship hall. So if you get here at 8:30, you might just have to have coffee for a while. But we will be meeting at 10 a.m. in the Centennial Hall. But it would be nice if folks would be willing to help set up chairs and things in the Fellowship Hall in a more worship sort of format. So if you could be here, those that are willing to help at 11 a.m. next Saturday, we're going to do some setup kind of after the veggie stand. So you could come, get some goodies, keep on purchasing things from the veggie stand, and then you can have your snack, and then you can help set up some chairs. That'd be a wonderful time. And then we'll just all have fun on Sunday, I guess. Once it's all said and done and underway, we should be good. We'll do the worship. We'll do the stained glass window dedication. It's looking beautiful. It's all hidden away in a safe location under guard and lock and key, and should be ready. And then a pig roast and all the music and everything. So, looking forward to that. Thanks again to Pastor Rebecca, who was here last Sunday preaching as part of our pastor exchange this summer. We'll have one more in August, and then I will also do, kind of as part of that same series, I'll do a My Creation Sunday, the first Sunday in September, but that'll kind of wrap us up for that. But thanks to Pastor Rebecca for being here, and for Bethlehem Lutheran, Pastor Rebecca's church, for hosting me last Sunday. So got to be up there in the woods of Bethlehem Lutheran. It's a very cool, older church. Of course, we also know there is some heavier news as well. We remember our brother in Christ, Jerry, who passed away this week. I have, a message from Pat that she wanted to share. Thank you, everyone. Jerry met his Lord Friday afternoon. His faith sustained him throughout his life, but especially during his illness. Our family thanks this congregation for your prayers. A special thank you to those who came to visit. He was so happy to see your faces and share laughter and stories one last time. We are forever grateful to this church family. So, again, thank you on behalf of me as well. Thank you all. I know they had tons and tons of visitors in the last several weeks, and I think it was Skip and Wally were there, I think, right before, or not long before Jerry passed. So, of all the ways for us to move from one life into the next, I think being surrounded by friends and loved ones, few better ways to go, I think, than that. So, but we will certainly keep Pat and the rest of the Becker family in our prayers this morning. The funeral for Jerry will be on Thursday. There will be a gathering time from 9 to 11, and then 11 a.m. will be the service here in the sanctuary. So, we also, of course, keep in mind with heavy hearts some of the news of our country again this morning of the shooting, not only in Texas, but I don't know if some of you saw the news this morning of one in Ohio as well early this morning at 1 a.m. So certainly lots of folks that are dealing with violence in our country and around the world, and we hope that our country can do better and that we can find some way to reduce these kinds of tragic deaths in the future. Well, let's see. Are there any? I know we're going to have Sandy here speak. Are there any other things we need to mention? I know Sandy is also, and the Pullens collaboratively are the ones doing the also offering the pottery for our raffle this month. So we're also grateful for them and their beautiful work. Are there any other things we need to mention here before we have Sandy come up and just wow us with her eloquence and just blow us away and try to really sell you up? Yeah. I know there's a note in here as well from Sheila. That's a fun one to take a look at, some of the things that's been going on with the choir. And we're also keeping Sheila's mother in our prayers. That's why we have our guest conductor this morning, who's also going to wow us with her amazing conducting abilities. Yeah, you know, so anyway, I'm just really trying to oversell everyone this morning, but no, it should be great. So we thank Janine for filling in for Sheila.
Final centennial meeting.
Final centennial meeting. Sorry, it's not Wednesday as printed in the bulletin. It's Monday morning, 10 a.m., so make sure if you're on the centennial committee or want to help out in these final days and want to have a chance to chat, please come Monday morning at 10 a.m. That's it. All right, Sandy, take it away.
Nice job.
I know, yeah. Trying to pump them up, you know.
Yeah. Good morning. As you know, our church supports 5 local organizations with our benevolence. And one of the organizations we support is called Pearl Crisis Center. Their location is in Malacca. And I wanted to make sure that I knew what I was talking about tonight, so I called Judy. And if you remember a couple months ago, Judy and her 2 co-workers were here, and they did a wonderful job, if you were here, of telling what their organization does. We had a lovely visit. She could talk for hours about what she does because it is so much their heart. I have notes, so I know what I'm talking about today, Pastor James. For over 20 years, Pearl Crisis Center, a nonprofit agency, has provided support and resources to all victims and survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault in Mille Lacs County and the areas around. And she wanted to make sure you understood that. They go to all the schools in the area. They do not just go to Mille Lacs County schools. The one lady that was here was in Anoka last week doing workshops because they are so knowledgeable about their subject. If they are called, they will come. It is just their firm belief that we have to do something. Pearl Crisis is dedicated to increasing safety for victims, survivors of violence, and their families through education and advocacy, working to increase accountability and educational efforts, coordinating efforts with community members, organizations, and systems. If any of you have an organization that would be interested in having them come to talk to your group, they will come. All you have to do is call. And we will keep that information in our newsletter, and it'll be posted on the bulletin board out there, so everyone knows the number that they can call to get a hold of this organization. Last year, and this just amazed me, last year, Pearl Crisis out of Malacca serviced 520 victims. Their program that they're working on right now is called No More, and that's the name of the program that they will be using this year in the schools and at any organizational meeting that they speak to in order to help the victims and survivors. Judy has all these little sayings, and they kind of laugh about her because she comes on Monday mornings to their meetings, and she has all these little words of wisdom that she gives them. And one of the ladies told me, this is the one that they will always remember. If you have the ability to give, then it's your responsibility to give. No matter how you give, it is your responsibility if you have the ability. With the help of Mary, here's what we're going to do. They have asked us to collect items that will help the people that they that come to their house. And our great secretary gave you a yellow flyer in your bulletin. This is a list, and we will start a tub, not this week, because of all we have to do here at church, but starting next week, this will be in the fellowship hall, a tub with this list on. She didn't put on sizes of anything because she said even little travel bags or travel bottles of shampoo and anything that you can buy in that section at Walmart, she suggested. They pack a bag for the people that come to them at Pearl Crisis because sometimes they're transported to other places and they come with nothing most of the time, just with their body and what they can grab. So if we can send to them a tub full of items that they can pack in a little bag for these victims, they would greatly appreciate it. She also said, don't forget to tell everyone, this is a free service. They are free. If you know of anyone that needs help with any of these problems, they're a free service. And also, they have a fundraiser. It's coming up August 20th to the 23rd, and they run a big thrift store, which is a place where you and I might take any good quality items that we have. But they have a closet sale, which is in the parking lot on August 20th to 23rd, where they'll be pulling out their thrift store closet for items to raise money for Pearl Crisis. Thank you.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Seeking reconciliation with God and neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and confess our sin. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, against one another, and against the earth entrusted to our care. We are worried and distracted by many things, and we fail to love you above all else. We store up treasures for ourselves and turn away from our neighbors in need. Forgive us that we may live in the freedom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When we were laid low by sin and guilt, God made us alive together with Christ, forgiving us all our trespasses by taking our sins to the cross. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Rejoice in this good news.
Amen.
Benevolent God, you are the source, the guide, and the goal of our lives. Teach us to love what is worth loving, to reject what is offensive to you, and to treasure what is precious in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Someone left some glasses up in the pulpit. Is this for people that want to take a nap during the sermon? Got some eyes painted on there. Just let me know if you'd like to borrow them. We'll auction them off next month for the raffle. Yeah. Anyway. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, the first chapter, beginning in the first verse. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep.
while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. And our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 30th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Gospel begins. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, "What will we eat?" or "What will we drink?" or "What will we wear?" For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. One phrase I often catch myself saying in sermons or other pastory kind of conversations are those words, "As Lutherans, we believe." Because, one, I know that not all of you are Lutherans. It's okay, I'm not judging. I just know that we come as a group from a diverse set of backgrounds. Maybe you weren't Lutherans all your life. Maybe even now you're still a little unsure of the whole Lutheran thing. Those evangelicals just seem to have much more fun of a time than us, you know. More lights and smoke machines. But, you know, hey, you know, in Malmo you just got only so many choices. But I also know, of course, that just because we all might label ourselves Lutherans does not necessarily mean we're going to agree with one another. In fact, it's often the case that we don't agree with one another. Maybe not on some of the big things, but certainly there are lots of beliefs here and there where we might differ at least a little bit on one thing or another. Not all of us hold by the official, by the Book of Concord, according to the Church Constitution, Lutheran beliefs. Christians, and Lutherans especially, can't even agree on how important it is that you agree on everything. Right, that's one of the beliefs. If you've ever been to a Catholic worship service or a Missouri Synod Lutheran Church worship service, right, that's part of the underpinnings of why they don't practice open communion. They believe that you need to be of a similar belief, a fairly similar belief, in order to share in the sacrament, which is certainly their choice. It's not what we believe here in the Lutheran Church. At least as a group, but it is their interpretation of certain Bible passages. You know, we may not always like such strict demands coming from a more open communion background or more open in other ways as well, and yet I think most of us would agree that there is a balance to be struck in our beliefs that, yeah, okay, we maybe don't want to be super strict about making sure everyone believes exactly according to what we wrote down in some book at some point in time. And yet, we also do believe that we should have some things in common, right? I mean, if we really drastically believe different things, then, you know, we can wish each other well in our own, maybe separate spaces. And so we do kind of wrestle with this as Christians. What is it that we believe, and what is it that unites us in those beliefs? You know, and that's part of the reason why the ELCA over the years has sought out various shared agreements with other church bodies, such as the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Episcopal Church, and even talks with Catholic Church as well, you know, to find these areas of commonality where maybe we don't agree on everything, but there may be some really central beliefs that we hold in common, and how far does that go? We began a new series this morning on the creeds, right? The Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. Maybe once in a long while we might actually read the Athanasian Creed. It's not so common anymore. You might even be wondering, Athanasian Creed, what is that? We don't even have it in our hymn books anymore. They took it out in the red hymnal, but it used to be this really long, if you ever remember, like, from years ago, reading this really long creed, like one Sunday a year, that was probably the Athanasian Creed. And there's been others that have been written throughout the centuries of Christian history. The Apostles is probably the oldest, and the second and third, then the Nicene in the fourth, the Athanasian in the fifth or sixth, and then many others throughout the history of the church and in different denominations. I think even once I secretly had you guys read a creed. I call it a statement of faith, but it's a creed from the UCC Church in Canada called the New Creed. Pretty creative. but it's a lovely sort of statement of faith. And maybe we don't often think about creeds as being this distinct thing, right? It's just kind of another prayer. It's another sort of religious thing that we read on a Sunday morning together. But these are sort of an important part, I think, or I believe, as part of our worship service, to have this moment when we say, this is what we believe. Right? Not what I believe. I mean, that's an important question, too. But what do we believe as a people of God? What can we actually agree on? What can we sit down, or at least, you know, a good healthy percentage of us, what can we agree on, right? That we're not going to argue over, that we're not going to, you know, fight over every time we have a church count or a church meeting. But what can we believe as a people of faith? And though this was definitely not my intention, you know, but this actually works out really well for a people that are, you know, celebrating or honoring some sort of, you know, anniversary, like, say, a centennial, right? We've talked about this over the past several months about what does it mean that we are a church? What does it mean not only who we've been, but who we are and who we hope ourselves to be? Where do we see God calling us? And so it's not a bad thing for us to take time and reflect, who are we as a people of God? What are the things that we say that we believe in? And, I mean, of course, that was partly why the creeds came into existence. They often would come into existence after times of big schism in the church, big infighting over various, some really healthy separate beliefs. But I think it's a good regular practice as a church to think about what that we say that we believe in. You know, and so as part of this series, it's kind of shaped around the Trinity. So today, obviously, we have God, the Creator, you know, and next week we'll have Jesus, and the following week the bishop will get a preach on the Holy Spirit. But today we think about God, the Creator, the God who, in the story of Genesis, looks out onto an existence that is formless and void and speaks light into the midst of that pre-creation soup, that kind of dark, murky sort of atmosphere. God speaks creation into existence. There's light, and then there's land, and there's waters, and the stars, and all the life that teems in it. And recently in our women's Bible study, we started reading a book, and they had this lovely description. I would encourage you to find someone who has a copy of that book and to just read that first chapter, this beautiful description of kind of a story version of Genesis and how it might have been spoken in some of its earliest creations, because it reminds us that, you know, early on when Genesis was first written down on paper or first told orally person to person, you know, it wasn't about the kinds of debates we often have about Genesis today, if we have those kind of debates, right, about history or does it match up with science or things like that, but that this story of Genesis was a story of hope. You know, in a world that was so often filled with chaos, it was so often people worried about the purposelessness of existence, that things just happen to you. In a world where other mythologies in the ancient world, other ancient religions would talk about gods that would do incredible acts of violence and warfare that created human beings to be slaves, or you think of Zeus, right, kind of philandering around existence, that our creation story is a little bit different. That it's about a God who loves us, that God who creates us on purpose, that creates us not out of the blood of ancient ancient god beings in their carcasses, but God creates creation out of a word. God creates a creation because God delights in life in all its many and various forms. And in human beings, how does God create human beings? But it's God's own breath that breathes into us. That's a different sort of a message to hear in our world. And so when we claim that as our belief, that's a powerful statement that goes against even our modern day mythologies that sees human beings for other purposes, for greed, for injustice, for exploitation in one form or another. To still proclaim this story of Genesis is a powerful statement even in our world today. We need that message more and more in our world. Unfortunately, we need that message that God delights in life. You know, we mourn our brother Jerry this week. We mourn the news out of El Paso, Texas, the news that I didn't even know about until I woke up this morning and was checking on the news on El Paso to hear about the shooting in Dayton, Ohio. You know, and a week or so ago, it was a death of over 150 refugees in the Mediterranean, people fleeing from Africa for a better, brighter life, trying to make their way into Europe, drowning as their boat capsized. We hear stories of all kinds of violence and oppression in our world. And so we need to hear that message of Genesis, of Matthew's gospel as well. That God cares for all forms of life, that God puts that as a priority above all else. Do we hold that belief or not? Do we set that as a priority or not? Because so often in the wake of all these tragedies of one form or another, we get hampered by all kinds of partisan bickering. And what doesn't come out in all that bickering, what gets drowned out by all that noise, is that word of God, that word of love, that word of delight in all forms of life. You know, that's been the beauty of this creation series, this pastor exchange that we've been doing, is to kind of delve into all those little aspects of creation that God loves. I think last week Pastor Rebecca talked about the forest, and Pastor Doug came here the month before and talked about the God and God's love for the cosmos, this great expanse of our universe beyond our world. I think Pastor Mike is talking about animals, though. According to the people of Bethlehem, when I asked them, you know, what do you talk about last month, they said, I remember him talking about roadkill, so I'm curious to see what actually he's talking about. I can't remember if Pastor Mike is actually coming here next month or if it's Pastor Jordan, but Pastor Jordan's talking about the river and the influence of these bodies of water in our life. But God delights in all of it. I'm going to be preaching about the wildness and all the wild, crazy creatures that we maybe don't always think of as pretty or friendly or, you know, God's love for even the mosquitoes and all the flies of the world that are swarming around us right now, all of us who live by the lake. God loves even those creatures, which maybe is depressing for us, but also should be encouraging. If you feel like you're not doing so great in your life, remember, if God can manage to love the mosquitoes and the flies, then, you know, you stand a pretty good chance. That's all I'm saying, you know. There's probably some hope for you as well. And so what do we believe? This is this question of the creeds. What do we believe? Not just the things that we, you know, the teachings and the traditions and the truths that we, you know, form out in committees and we write them down. The things that we slap on a mission statement or enshrine in a constitution or embroider on a pillow, put on a t-shirt. But what are those beliefs that we believe so much that we actually live them out? Right? Not that we just write them down, but that change our lives. Or at the very least, the beliefs that we believe in so much that we feel guilty if we don't live them out, right? We know that we are human beings and we have our limitations, we have our imperfections. But what are those things that we believe so firmly that we want that to be part of our world more than anything else? You know, I hope that we believe, you know, as we mourn for all these losses in our midst and around the world, we believe that we will not be separated from God's love. That's the passage I often turn to, Paul's letter in the Romans, in the letter to the Romans. You know that nothing will separate us from God's love, nothing in all creation, nothing in this life or even in death. But as we say again and again, that love that never leaves us also doesn't let us sit still. It's a gift that's meant to be shared. I think even Sandy sort of preached that a little bit in her talk about the Pearl Crisis Center this morning, right? That this is something that if we care about, this is something that we support. If we say that we want to help people who are in crisis in one way or another, then we should be moved through the love of God into action to support those that are bringing help in those places. And whether we write things down in a formal, fancy creed that we read on Sunday mornings, or whether it's just something we live out through the work of our hands, you know, God calls us to this life of belief, not just an idea of belief, but a life shaped by the things that we believe in. So what kind of God do we believe in? The God of Genesis? The God of Matthew? The God of Paul? Or do we believe in a God that is no bigger than our own fears, our own prejudices, our own unwillingness to change or confess or forgive? Do we believe in a God that has created and is creating and does so out of love for all that lives and breathes? What do we believe as a people of God celebrating our 100th anniversary next week? What do we believe? What do we want to see live out for another 100 years? Amen.
Please rise as you are able. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Treasuring your promise to hear us when we call, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of your creation. Your people struggle with the weariness and toil of living in a broken world. Work through your church to restore justice and mercy and send rest and comfort to all who are bowed down. Trusting in God, our abundant provider, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Your creation longs for generous care. Give growth to the fields, strength to farmers, ranchers, and laborers who toil in summer's heat, and wisdom to us who to respect earth's bounty. Trusting in God, our loving Creator, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Your world reflects your image in billions of unique ways. Touch every life, low and high, rich and poor, and sway every heart toward your merciful will. Trusting in God, our Sovereign, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Your comfort in this congregation praise you. Your people in this congregation praise you and pray for your almighty help. Comfort those who suffer from anxiety, depression, or stress. Provide for those in need. Trusting in God, our purpose and goal, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Your communities near and far lack basic resources. Supply work, food, and health care for all those who are in need. Bring relief to those who are overworked. Trusting in God, our help, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Good and gracious God, we lift before you additional prayers this morning. We remember in prayer the family of Jerry Becker, of Pat, of all those who are grieving after the loss of our friend. But we trust that he still finds your love. We also remember in prayer Ted, who is undergoing surgery this week. We remember in prayer the people of Texas and Ohio, of all those suffering in the wake of violence. Remember all those who suffer hardship or who lose their life seeking for a safer and better future, whether we are thinking of those domestically seeking relief from domestic and sexual violence, or those fleeing countries of violence and injustice around the world. And, oh God, please be with us this week as we celebrate our centennial as a people of God in this place. We give you thanks for all those who brought us here for such a journey. We ask your blessings on the journeys that lie ahead of us. And now, oh God, we lift up all those other prayers that are on our hearts and in our minds, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence.
Tom and Marianne.
For Barb, the mother of Sheila. Your saints, O God, who have died and now rest in your merciful care, comfort us in faith and love as we continue our labor on earth. Trusting in God who gives life to the dead, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
All these things and more we ask in the name of our risen Lord, Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, for the green earth given for all, for the talents we are given to share, and for this bread and wine. Transform us to be the body of Christ, that feasting on this food and drink, our lives may reflect your generosity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Holy God, our Maker, Redeemer, and Healer, in the harmonious world of your creation, the plants and animals, the seas and stars were whole and well in your praise. When sin had scarred the world, you sent your Son to heal our ills and to form us again into one. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his acts of healing, his body given up, and his victory over death, we await that day when all the peoples of the earth will come to the river to enjoy the tree of life. Send your Spirit upon us and on this meal. As grains scattered on the hillside become one bread, so let your church be gathered from the ends of the earth, that all may be fed with the bread of life, your Son. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God invites you to this table of bounty. Come, the banquet is ready. You may be seated. Let us pray. O God, in this holy communion, you have welcomed us into your presence.
Nourished us with words of mercy, and fed us at your table. Amid the cares of this life, strengthen us to love you with all our heart, serve our neighbors with a willing spirit, and honor the earth you have made. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving. And the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Our closing hymn is the song "We Believe" in your bulletins.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe. So Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming.
Go in peace. Christ is sending you. Thanks to God. Kept waiting for that one, Doc.